Yesterday we asked the question. The question we asked yesterday was about when tshuva works, when tshuva does not work. Our Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Chav Hey that if a person is pasul la'edus because he is a Rasha d'chamas, he's someone who has, let's assume he's a Rasha d'chamas, someone who has allowed trefos to be sold or has sold trefos because he needs money, so that person can do tshuva as long as he goes somewhere else and he's willing to lose money on account of the religion. So that's then he could become kasher la'edus again. So our Gemara is one source where we find that tshuva does work. Another source where we potentially find that tshuva does work even down here. Now the fact that tshuva works, that was the first thing we established. Of course tshuva works. It works up in Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put you where tzaddikim gemurim don't even go if you're a real Baal tshuva. So that, it definitely works. Question is, does Beis Din recognize tshuva? So in our Gemara is one example in Shas where Beis Din recognizes that you did tshuva and changes your status based on that. The other example we found was the Shitas HaRambam when it came to an Ir Anidachas, where the Rambam writes that the first step of a city becoming an Ir Anidachas is that when word gets around that there's a city out there that has a significant number of inhabitants who are doing Avodah Zarah, they send two Talmidei Chacham to the city to inspire them and give a whole Musar Shmuz, and if they do tshuva, mutav, then everything's good, and then we can close up shop. We don't have to continue with the laws of Ir Anidachas. But if they don't do tshuva, then we continue with the laws of Ir Anidachas. We fight a war with them, and we set up Batei Din everywhere, and we count up how many people there were, and if it's a majority of people that are found guilty, so they have a din of Ir Anidachas. So the Ravid commented on that Rambam. He says, look, I'm as big a fan of tshuva as anybody is, but come on, tshuva doesn't work in Beis Din Shalmata. Why does the Beis Din recognize the power of tshuva over here? We pointed out that the Migdalos says maybe it's a typo in the Rambam, but he says, you know what? I don't really see what the Ravid's problem is. Why shouldn't tshuva work? Let tshuva work. What's the big deal? Why would it be a problem if tshuva works? So, but that's the Ravid's taina is a very strong taina because we never find that tshuva works in Beis Din Shalmata. We had a Gemara Maseches Makos that seemed pretty clear that tshuva does not work in Beis Din Shalmata. We had a Tosvos in Maseches Yuma that assumed as a davar pashut that tshuva does not work down in Beis Din Shalmata, that one does get punished even after doing tshuva. We have plenty of sources that indicated that Beis Din will still punish a person after they do tshuva. So I guess the question is a triple question. Number one, what's the story with our Gemara? Why does tshuva work in our Gemara to change a person's status from apostle aid to kosher aid? Number two, what's the story with the Gemara in with the Rambam rather about Ir Anidachas? Why does tshuva work over there? And number three, what's the story with every other Gemara in Shas where tshuva doesn't work? Why shouldn't tshuva work? Tshuva works up in Shemayim. It's good enough for God. Why isn't it good enough for us? So first, in terms of dealing with the Ir Hanidachas issue, Rav Shechter has a piece in Eretz HaTzvi. Thank you for bringing it. Whoever brought it down? Tepper, I assume? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So Rav Shechter has a piece in Eretz HaTzvi where he explains the first section is Tshuva Legabe Beis Din Shalmata. That's what it's called. Tshuva Legabe Beis Din Shalmata. So what he explains is as follows. First, he quotes the Sefer Piskei Tshuva that I mentioned to you yesterday, who writes, "Vani mistapek, if a person is boel and erva, let's say a man sleeps with a married woman, not his own wife, someone else's wife, and they conceive a child, they have a child, that the child is a mamzer." He says, "But I wonder, what if the man va'achareza osa tshuva me'ava? The man does tshuva, not just regular tshuva me'ira, where zdonos naslo kishkagos, but tshuva me'ahava." And the halach of the Gemara says at the end of Yuma, when a person does tshuva me'ava, it's the highest level of tshuva, dizdonos nasalo kizechuyos. His averos that were done on purpose now take on the status of zechuyos, of mitzvos. Gemara says in Yuma daf pevav. So he says, hadin nosin shetitar ha-mamzer, dil marfei alois abia ba'avera. It should turn out that the child is not a mamzer anymore, because there was no bia ba'avera. So that led us into a little bit of a side discussion about whether mamzerus is a biological thing or it's based on a bia of avera. Okay. Now, the Rosh Hashanah points out that in the Ha'aros of Hagona Chassid Moreno Arav Rabbi Yaakov Meir Biderman Mivarsha from Warsaw in the Sefer Piskei Tshuva, he says it's really a silly kasha. It's a non-starter. He says, how can tshuva ever fix the mamzer, be matar the mamzer, one element of tshuva is that you have to be able to undo what you've done. He says, kol man sham mamzer kayim lav bar tshuvahu. You're not someone who's able to do tshuva, because the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos says, we know that there are dal chiluke kapara, that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that tshuva doesn't always work immediately. Even if tshuva works, sometimes it takes time till the slate is cleaned, till HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's okay. Sometimes it happens depending on the severity of the Isser. Sometimes it happens right away. Sometimes you have to wait for Yisurin to suffer a little bit. Sometimes you have to wait for Yom Kippur and Yisurin. Sometimes you have to wait for Yom Kippur and Yisurin, even that's not enough. You have to wait for the Yom HaMisa, for death, in order for tshuva to really fully take effect. Well, there is a Gemara, Maseches Yevamos, Daf Chav Beis, quotes a pasuk. Gemara quotes this pasuk in several places. Mu'uvas lo yuchal liskon. That there are certain things in life, certain mistakes mankind makes in life that are simply not fixable. Things that are so bad, we just can't fix them. We have no way to rectify the mistakes. And the Gemara says, what's such an example? Person is Baal Eish HaSish, and he has a child who's a mamzer. Can't fix it. So he says, what do you think it means he can't fix it? What do you mean? Do tshuva. Tshuva me'ava will become kizuchuyos. No, the tshuva doesn't work so long as the child is alive. So long as you have that mamzer in this world, the tshuva doesn't work. So it sounds a little bit like circular logic. What do you mean? If the tshuva worked, then he wouldn't be a mamzer, then it would be fixable. So that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. Where do you stop that circle? Where do you stop that vicious cycle? The Gemara is saying, you stop it at muvas l'yuchal iskon, that we consider this child a mamzer, and don't allow tshuva until the child's not there anymore. So long as the child's still there, or any remnant of the child, the child's child, or any mamzer that came about as a result of your avera is still there, l'yuchal iskon. It can't be fixed. It's simply an avera that you can't do tshuva for. So really, it's a non-starter. But, Rav Shachter points out, it's a non-starter for another reason. And he quotes our Rambam, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, how we send Shnei Talmid Chacham, and if they do tshuva, and the Ravid saying, come on, I think tshuva is great, but it shouldn't work over here. So Tzafnas Paneach writes, the Ragachavar writes, that Be'emes Kavanas Rambam Lomar, Dim Asu Tshuva, Shuv Paka Mehem Din Irani Dachas, Umamonum Palat, V'chein Aktanim Emrim Ne'aragim, V'rak Ha'ovdim Neskalim. How do you read that Rambam? Unbelievable. Says Rav Shachter. Read that. Look at the Rambam again. What source number is that Rambam? Is that? What was it? It's there somewhere. Yeah, number 12. Read that Rambam again. Heich din irani dachas. Bizman shetir rui lehasus irani dachas. When it's supposed to be in irani dachas, meaning when we get the sense that there's a city where there's an enormous amount of avodah zarah going on, Beisdin Agadol Sholchin Vidarshin V'Chokrin, they send messengers, they investigate, Ad Sheyedu B'Raya Berura Shehudcha Kaleir Oruba, till they know for sure that the majority or the entire city, the entire or majority of the city, is doing Avodah Zarah, V'Chazru LaAvodas Kachavim, Achar Kach Sholchin Lam Shnei Talmidei Chachamim LaHazhiram U'LaHachziram. Then we send two Talmidei Chachamim to get them to do tshuva. Im chazru vasu tshuva mutav. So if they do tshuva, it's good. How would you say that phrase? If they do tshuva, what's he saying? What happens if they do tshuva? If they do tshuva, what do you mean good? Good? What does that mean? What would you say? What does it sound like he's saying? If they do tshuva, what do we do to them? Nothing. Nothing, right? So how do you say that in halacha? Someone you thought was chayiv, pater, right? Pater. She say him peturim, holchem lahem. They get to go home. Have a nice day. Doesn't say that. It says mutav. Okay, good. What does that mean? Good. Good on what level? And then he says, oh, and if they don't do tshuva, and then he describes the process of going through ir nidachas. So says the Ragashavar, and Rav Shachter says that. Salvechik said the same pshat. The Rambam is not saying that if they do tshuva, they don't get punished. Of course they get punished. Anytime you do an avera down here in this world, and you have Edim and Hasra and everything, doing tshuva doesn't get you off the hook at all. Of course you get punished. The Rambam is saying that if they do tshuva, they're not going to be in Ir HaNidachas anymore. So what happens then if they're not in Ir HaNidachas? So what's the difference between dachas and a regular ovid avodah zarah? Different punishments, okay? Different misa. Their money doesn't get burnt in the town square because they no longer have the status of nirni dachas. They don't get off the hook. Their children won't get killed. Their wives won't get killed. Only those who actually did avodah zarah will get killed. They're not going to get off the hook. So that helps to answer the question in terms of why the Rambam assumes tshuva will work. And the answer is that it doesn't. Tshuva does not work to get a person out of their onesh, out of an onesh. All tshuva does in this context is it takes away the status of ir hanidachas. But what's pshat? Why should it take away the status of ir hanidachas? Where does tshuva play a role in ir hanidachas? So says Rav Shechter, v'nira de makor din zel adas haramam hu midrashas ha-mishnas of perchelik. He says it's Gemara in Sanhedrin. Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Which Mishnah in Sanhedrin? Kuf yud aleph amud beis. As you are probably aware, the last 20 blot of Masech Sanhedrin is all agadita. Perchelik. Because the perch starts, kol yishol yesham chelik olam haba, except for those who don't. Everyone has chelik olam haba, except for A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? Except for all the guys that don't have chelik olam haba. So, which, yeah, extensive list. So the Mishnah Chelek says, "Anshe ir hanidachas ein lem chelek l'olam haba," that the people of Nir Nidachas don't have chelek in olam haba. Shneimar yetsu anoshim bnei Belial mikirbecha, that they're anshe anoshim bnei Belial. Bnei Belial means good for nothing. They get no chelek in olam haba. So how do you understand that Mishnah? Pashup Pshat in the Mishnah is the Mishnah is telling us what the repercussions of being part of an Ir Nidachas are. That the consequences are that you will not get a chelek in Olam Haba. Shachta says, if Shachta turns around and said, he says, no, that's not what it's telling you. It's not just telling you that if you are a member of an Ir Nidachas, you will not get a chelek in Olam Haba. It's also saying the reverse. If you have a chelek in Olam Haba, then you must not have been a member of an Ir Nidachas. What difference does it make? As follows. We know tshuva works. Where does tshuva definitely work? What does it work for sure for? Beis and Shalmala. It definitely works in Olam Haba. That there's no suffix. If a person does tshuva, he knows he's going to Olam Haba. So a guy is a member of a city where the whole city is doing avodah zarah, and then the whole city does tshuva. They know for sure that they're going to Olam Haba. Mimela, they can no longer be in Ir Nidachas. Because anyone who's going to Olam Haba is not eligible to be in Ir Nidachas. So what should we do with them? They did Avodah Zarah. Okay, so you punish them as individuals who were over Avodah Zarah. But you can no longer have a din of Ir Nidachas if they've guaranteed themselves Olam Haba. How do they guarantee themselves Olam Haba? Tshuva! That's what the Rambam's saying. That if they do tshuva, they've aborted the process of becoming an Ir Nidachas. Beis and Shalmat is still going to deal with their Averos, of course. But they can no longer become an Ir Nidachas. Says, this is one of the conditions to be an Ir Nidachas. That they can't have a Chelek Olam Haba. And Rav Shechter writes in a footnote that I have later found that the Chabina Rav in the Tshuva's Dov Misharim says the same vart. Once they do tshuva, mela, they have a chelik in Olam Haba, they can't be in Ir Nidachas, so they have to be done like Yechidim. He says, v'zeh pashu t'davka b'din Ir Nidachas. D'alfinan hachi mikroi hu d'sri le Ram hachi. He says, this is only true by Ir Nidachas, that the Rambam holds such a din, that by doing tshuva, Beis Din can't judge them as Ir Nidachas anymore, and Beis Din has to judge them as Yechidim. But in general, any other aveira in the Torah, after you do tshuva, of course, the Rambam will be mother to the Ravid. Tshuva doesn't work to get you off the hook. De inyana tshuva ha-mo'ilo hu dafka klape beis din shel maila, velo legabe beis din shel mata. Tshuva works in beis din shel mala, not in beis din shel mata. And therefore, going back to the Piskei tshuva, if a guy had bia with a married woman, has a child, and then does tshuva me'ava, why is the child still a mamzer? because he's in this world. And tshuva doesn't work for this world. Tshuva works for the next world. It's not going to help us for this world. Rav Shechter points out that it's interesting. It turns out that this whole din of Yer Nidachas, also the way the Rambam describes it, is he describes it as a chiyuv melchama on a din of Yer Nidachas. And it's not just stam that they're chayiv misa, that there's a whole chalos shem Yer Nidachas where we have a mitzvah to declare war against Yer Nidachas. I thought it was in this piece in Eretz Tzvi, but I don't see it now. There's a mitzvah to declare war against Yer Nidachas. That mitzvah is only operative once they fulfill all the conditions, including that they don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. So that's what it's saying. Meaning, when we punish Nir Nidachas, it's only as a result of the fact that Klal Yisrael is a mitzvah when they've determined that there's potentially a Nir Nidachas to declare war on the city. That mitzvah of declaring war is only if that city has already fulfilled all of the conditions of being in Yer Nidachas, including that they don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. If they've done tshuva, they haven't fulfilled all the conditions of being in Yer Nidachas. Mele, there's no mitzvah to declare war. That's why, meaning, what does he gain by that last little bit that I said? If tshuva doesn't work to get you out of onshim, of Beitin Shalmata, right? Why does it work to change an onesh of Beitin Shalmata? Meaning, if let's say a person is chayiv malchus, so can you do tshuva and say, okay, Bezin, you can punish me, just hit me 20 times instead of 39. Well, there's no such thing. You chayiv malchus, you get malchus arbaim, you get 39 malchus. If a person is chayiv misa, you can't say, yeah, give me malchus instead because I did tshuva. But tshuva never works. Not only doesn't it work to get you off the hook, it doesn't work even to lighten it or change it in any way. So what's pshat in the Rambam? The Rambam is saying, he did tshuva. Okay, so since the people of the Yer Nidachas did tshuva, so you know what we're going to do for them? Their money won't be destroyed anymore. Their wives and kids won't be killed anymore. We're only going to deal with them now. Different misa. I thought tshuva doesn't work in Bezin Shalmata. So Sarev Shechter, no, tshuva doesn't work in Bezin Shalmata. But over here, when the punishment that an Yer Nidachas gets as a city is not an onesh of Beis Din. It's a chiyuv milchama. The gather of the punishment is a chiyuv milchama. When do we go out to wars? So there's a concept called milchamas mitzvah. When we know that there is a chiyuv to fight a war, we ask the Urim Tumim, whatever, and we're told, well, Urim Tumim, you only have to ask for milchamas rishus, but whatever, milchamas mitzvah, we go out. If we're attacked, we have a mitzvah to respond, to go out to war. That's a chiyuv on us, it's our mitzvah of doing milchama. When the Yer Nidachas gets punished, it's not a din in Onesh of Beis Din. It's a din of a chiyuv milchama of Klal Yisrael. That we have a mitzvah of fighting milchama. When there are many mitzvahs that are conditional. There are a lot of times where you have mitzvahs that only in a certain situation you do a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of a kasav l'sefer krisus. What mitzvah is that? Ki yikach ishisha? When a man marries a woman and things don't work out, because of the Sefer Krisus, a mitzvah to divorce your wife, write a get. So should everyone dafka marry a girl they don't like just so they can fulfill the mitzvah of because of the Sefer Krisus? Obviously not. It's ridiculous. I once had a high school Talmud, when I asked that rhetorical question, came out and told his parents, Rabbi Leibowitz said that everyone's supposed to marry a girl that they don't like so they can fulfill the mitzvah of because of the Sefer Krisus. So the parents complained to me, how could you tell my kids something like that? I'm not sure who's the bigger idiot, the kid or the parent who thinks that it's true, that I actually said it. You know, okay, but anyway, so do you have to do that mitzvah? No, it's a conditional mitzvah. In the right circumstances, that mitzvah kicks in. There are lots of mitzvahs like that that are completely dependent on condition. So what is the condition of the mitzvah of Klal Yisrael to fight a milchama against the Nir Nidachas if they are not B'nai Olam Haba? And the majority have done avodah zarah, they have to fulfill a certain amount of criteria in order for that mitzvah to be operative. If they don't fulfill those criteria, the mitzvah is not operative. Memela, we go back to whatever the din is of a guy who does avodah zarah, and we punish him like of the avodah zarah. That's why I look back at the Rambam, source number 12. How does the Rambam describe what happens? He says, if they do tshuva good, v'im yamdu ba'av lasan, but if they remain with their sin, Bezin mitzuvin l'kol Yisrael lalos aleihem latzava. very graphic lashon. What's the Rambam describing? He's not describing a shaliach Beis Din carrying out, the executioner of Beis Din carrying out his onesh. No. Beis Din tells Kol Yisrael, the entire Jewish people, you have a mitzvah, la'alos aleihem atzava. You have a melchemes mitzvah to fight. Because the criteria are there to fight the melchama. Vein tzarin aleihem. We attack the city. That's how Beis Din doesn't attack cities. Beis Din as an executioner who gives skilas, reifa, erech, chenek. We attack the city. Klal Yisrael is a mitzvah to fight the city. Very clear. Once you hear this pshat in the Rambam, you see it's clearly the pasuk pshat in the Rambam. Rambam's clearly saying, if they do tshuva, they'll still get punished. They'll just get punished as yechidim. If they don't do tshuva, it's not that the tshuva changes what their onesh is. No, their onesh is the same. The tshuva kicks in. The failure for them to do tshuva allows the mitzvah, the melchemes mitzvah, to kick in. That's the role of tshuva in this context. Good question.
Yeah, isn't there still a problem in measuring tshuva?
We'll get to that next. So in terms of, just to answer pashut, our Gemara measures tshuva. On certain averos, it's impossible to measure tshuva. Certain averos, very easy to measure tshuva.
They just stop doing
That may be not so pashut, because even if they stop, actually bowing to avodah zarah involves certain belief system also that they may not have completely, expunged from their minds. But in our Gemara, it had a case where a guy cheated for money. He allowed people to eat treifas for money. Yeah. So as soon as we see that he starts throwing treifas out and loses money,
I feel like it's a different sin though, because that's something it's very easily shown if you change. Whereas what is it, like you were saying, it's more of a belief system. So how is
meaning why does tshuva work over there to make it operative? Yeah, maybe even misafik. Maybe even if they do tshuva and it just looks like tshuva, we're not sure. Misafik, we're not allowed to fight Mulcham against them because they might be B'nai Olam Haba.
And I also understand why they, like, before they give him the chance, they are chayiv to go to war with him, right?
What do you mean before giving him the chance?
Before they send the people to give him, like, the chance to do tshuva.
No. First, you send the people to give him a chance to do tshuva. If they do tshuva, then we'll kill them as yechidim and let their wives and their money survive. If they don't do tshuva, that's when the mitzvah melchama kicks in.
So they're not really changing anything because they haven't established anything. So you could say that also.
What do you mean they haven't established anything?
There's no. It's not like they're an ir and a dechas.
Oh, we don't know for sure that they've done avodah zarah. Also interesting, right? That's true. It's all hearsay at this point,
yeah.
Right? Certainly no edus on it. Right? It's before we set up batei din and actually verify on case by case basis exactly what happened. Right, but I guess what he's saying is that you would then still have to set up batei din to try the people, the guilty parties, to try the people who actually did have avodah zarah. It's a good point also. You had a question? No? Okay. So that's in terms of the Ir Nidachas. But again, let's go back to our real question. Why in general, now that we've established that even by Ir Nidachas, tshuva does not work in Beis Din Shalmata, why not? Why does tshuva not work in Beis Din Shalmata, with the one exception of our Gemara of establishing someone as a kosher aid? And by the way, our Gemara, I was just thinking this, our Gemara is not necessarily right that tshuva works in Beis Din Shalmata in the sense that it gets you out of an onesh of any sort. All our Gemara is saying is, let's say, what did the guy do? The guy was motzi trefos mitachas yado in order to gain money. So what's the avera? So let's say the avera is lifnei iver, right? So he compromised on lifnei iver for money. Now he's no longer motzi nevelos mitachas trefos mitachas yado for money. So we see that he's not compromising his principles for money anymore. It doesn't mean that he's forgiven for having compromised his principles for money. Meaning, you're allowed to be a Rasha and still be an aid in a Beis Din. You're still kasher le'edus. You just can't be a Rasha to the point where you violate either things that you get malchus for, or things that are Rasha d'chamas. Now, when you did things that you get malchus for, your track record alone apostles you, because you're a chayiv malchus. That gives you a label as a rasha, and that will not go away with tshuva. I don't think the Gemara says of any chayivim malchus doing tshuva and having their psuleidus go away, does it? I don't think the Gemara has such an example. That would make you a shame rasha, and you'd be a rasha, and that would be it. When it comes to rasha the chamas, where you didn't do anything so severe, it's just we can't trust you because you'll take money for anything. So just like you take money for, you know, for selling treifas, you'll take money for testimony. So that's not because you're a Russia. You're pasul not because you're a Russia. Why are you pasul if you're a Russia to Hamas? Not because you're so bad. You didn't do anything you chayv malchus for. Why are you pasul? We can't trust you. As soon as you show that you're no longer taking money for things, you're still a Russia. You still did terrible things, and you're not forgiven for those things. But that wasn't what passed you. Your level of rishus wasn't great enough to pass you. What passed you was the practical fact that we simply can't trust you. Well, now we know we can trust you, so now you're kosher again. But it's not that anything changed because of your tshuva. So it could be even Argumar is not saying that tshuva really changes the way Beis and Shalmata deals with you. It doesn't. Whatever level of Russia you were before, you still are in Beis and Shalmata's eyes. The only thing is, if all you did was were motzi treves mitachas yado, you weren't the level of Russia to pass you le'edos, because it's not, you're not chayv malchus for that. The only reason we passed you is because we knew we couldn't trust you. Now we know we can trust you. But the level of Russia that you were, you still are. Tshuva doesn't change that in Beis Din's eyes. In Beis Din's eyes. So it seemed that it's not really a kasha at all. So now all we're left with, we started with three kashas. Why does tshuva work in our Gemara with Eidos? Why does tshuva work by the Erni Dachas? And why doesn't tshuva work in Gans Shas, in Beis and Shalmata? So we've answered the first two. By the Erni Dachas, we said tshuva doesn't work. The guy's still going to get punished. It's just that if they did tshuva, they became b'nei olam haba, mele the mitzvah of melchama against the Erni Dachas, not operative. In terms of the question of why does tshuva work in our Gemara, it doesn't work to take away your rishus. It's just that the problem with your edus wasn't that you were a rasha. The problem was that we couldn't trust you. And now we can trust you. But yeah, whatever rasha you were, you still are. So now we're only left with that one last question, the big one. Why doesn't tshuva work in Beis and Shalmata? So, Nadbi Huda says, perhaps what seems to be the most pashup shot in why it doesn't work in Beis and Shalmata. Let me write that. Yeah, if you look in the large underlined section of the Nod Bihud, the Nod Bihud is source number 9. Again, I went through with you yesterday what the Shaila was in the Nod Bihud, the crazy case. The large underlined section with like a lot of lines in a row. He says, "V'teida areza bilti safik shatshuva mechaperes kapara gemura." There's no doubt, tshuva absolutely works. Absolutely, v'davrzem enforcem b'torah navi m'ksuvim b'shnei atamud m'kal medrashim v'anavi m'kal medrashim. That the fact that tshuva works is very famous in Torah, in Navi, in Ksuvim, in Bavli, in Yerushalmi, and Midrashim. Take it from someone who learned all of it. Says the Nod Biyuda, it's all there. Ludwig, a lot of times in his responses, will say that if you ask him a question about something that doesn't appear in any of those books, he says, "I don't know, it's not my field of expertise, I don't deal with questions like that, go ask someone else." So how did they get published in the Shuvah? Because sometimes he says, "I really don't deal with questions like these, but," you know, like when they ask him about L'Shem Yichud, should you say L'Shem Yichud? He says, "L'Shem Yichud, I don't know, it's not in Bavli Yerushalmi Tanakh, you gotta ask some Rebbe or something." Then he says, "But I'll tell you not to ask a rabbi because it's a bunch of bogus and you shouldn't do it." Fine, you know, like he'll. But he always starts off by saying, "This is that's my area of expertise. These books and that's it." V'anavi omer b'shuv rasha mirushaso kol chatos v'asher chatalos iskerenelo. The navi says, as soon as you do tshuva, your averos are gone. V'gamze ein safek bo b'zmanchas sanedrin. You know, you give avar al chayav misus beizdin. But here it is. He says, "But I also have no doubt that if someone violates one of the Mishnas Beis Din, Achar Hasra, and he got Hasra beforehand, and he still violated the Avera, Afim Sho Eidim Vlobol Beis Din Shonim Rabos." Imagine the case. a guy murders somebody. Two Edom warn him in advance, you're going to be Chayv Misa if you murder this guy, don't do it. And the murderer is a thug. He's just a terrible, violent thug. And he says, I don't care if I'm Chayv Misa. And he does it anyway. Right in front of two Kashra Edom, and he murders somebody. And the Edom are so afraid of this thug that they don't show up to Beis. The case is never tried. It's an unsolved mystery. Years go by. This thug visits Israel, goes to a Balchuva yeshiva. You know, next thing you know, he's saying the top shir in some yeshiva. He's got a beard and payas. His kids are little Yerushalmi kids, no Tanakh Balpeh. He's not a thug anymore. He's changed his whole life around. Unbelievable story of transformation. Better than Michael Vick. Beimkach, asuzet tshuva, v'harbe sigufim v'tainios. He doesn't eat on Mondays and Thursdays because he's still doing tshuva for all of his averos that he had done. Le'in misper yoser v'yoser mitshuvas hamishkal. He does even more than a tshuvas hamishkal. I don't know how you do that in murder, but he does even more than a tshuvas hamishkal. He afflicts himself terribly. V'shuv achar kol tshuva bo edum beis. And then there's a program on TV, America's Most Wanted, and they say unsolved mysteries, whatever, and they should do a feature on this Nebuch, poor person that was killed years ago. And the Edom are sitting at home watching unsolved mysteries, and they say, we feel terrible about this. We never did anything about it. We were Edom. We were there. We saw the thing happen. We never went to be made in Beis Din. So the Edom then show up to Beis Din, and they say, it's Mareinu Harava going so and so. Who committed this murder? V'idu. Havadei she'ina bezen mashkichen al tshuvaso. He's going to say, what do you mean? Payas, look, beard, Yerushalmi kids. Look at all the sigufim, look at everything I put myself through. Bezen says, too bad. V'sarfim v'sokim v'yona shachet. Yechayv skili, yechayv skila. Of course they punish him. V'adover yifla. Kivin shevadei she'atshuva o'ilo kvar sarav ono v'chatoso. V'chatoso neschapra. Tshuva works. His avera is neschaper. Lama yumas. V'naki v'tzadik al tarog siv. Shteitin posuk. Naki v'tzadik al tarog. It's usher to kill an innocent tzadik. The guy's a rabbi going on kubul achas and whatever. He's a tzeng tapshir in yeshiva. He's a tzadik. U'behed yomu b'rei she'eluein alokin. Chayav v'misus asa tshuva. Ain Bezin Mochel Otsin, up in a Gemara we're not Mochel him and we'd still kill him. Why? Says the Nodeb Yudah, Elevadai Gzeris, HaKosovu, Shel Molei Kain, Batlu, Onshe Torah Bechlola. Slippery slope. It has to be that we have to punish people even after they do tshuva. Because if not, then there will be no such thing as an Onish in the Torah. Ve'ein Adam, Shiyu must be Beis Din. No one would ever die in Beis Din. Because what will happen any single time that we have Edom and irrefutable proof? You got Asra, you have Edom, you have everything. It's all pointing against them. What's the guy going to say? Tshuva chatasi v'inani shav. Yes, I sinned, but I have hereby done tshuva. It says in the Yehuda. Okay, so what? So what? Good. So let him get off the hook. Let him say he did tshuva. No, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave onshuv in the Torah. It can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave onshuv in the Torah, and it's impossible for us to ever carry out those onshuv. Kodesh Baruch Hu describes circumstances in the Torah that never happen. According to some Shitas, Pinsor and Mora, it never happened. But it's a theoretical possibility, at least. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to give us an onshuv in the Torah that is never going to be enforceable. Even if the guy doesn't say the tshuva, maybe he did. It would never, ever be enforceable. V'kibin shakodesh Baruch Hu ratzo liten onesh misa al ktsas avonos kedei. Sheyisyare ha'adam ilavar. Major statement that David is making. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us onshim in the Torah? Because it's a deterrent. Death penalty people, right? People who are in favor of the death penalty. What's the number one claim? Aside for the cost of keeping people in prison, it's much cheaper. What? Number one claim to, that's anti-death penalty people, no? But I'm saying like people who are in favor of death penalty. Why are we in favor of death penalty? Because when a person knows he can get killed for doing a sin, committing a crime, it's a deterrent. He's not going to want to commit the crime. Because he's afraid. He doesn't want to get killed. Person knows if he gets caught, he's going to... Why doesn't everyone just go into stores and steal things? Because they know if they get caught, they're going to be in big trouble. The big trouble is the deterrent. It's not just because people are ethical people. And therefore, it has to, the only way for the system to work is for tshuva not to be accepted in Beis Shalmata. So, any problems with this, Nodvida? Seems very logical, right? That Onesh Beis Din has to be able to be carried out because the whole point of Onesh Beis Din is to deter people, but it won't be a deterrent if everyone knows in the back of their mind that if push comes to shove, I can just claim tshuva and I'll get off the hook. How's that going to work as a deterrent? It won't deter people anymore. Then there's no point to the onshim. So my taina on this Nodeb Yehuda is that he's making an assumption that the purpose of onshim in Beis Din is to deter people from doing the averos, in the sense that they should be afraid that it will happen to them. Nodeb Yehuda says they're never going to be afraid that it will happen to them because they know they could do tshuva. But he's assuming that that's what the reason for the onshim is that people should be afraid that the onesh will happen to them. Is that true? Prove to me that it's not true.
Chayav Misa or other punishment?
Any punishment, including Chayav Misa. They're afraid that there's a realistic possibility that this might happen to them, and because of that realistic possibility, that's why they're not going to do the Avera. That's why God gave us these onshim, because of the realistic possibility that they might get killed for it. Pashut, why it's not true. What does it take? Yeah?
These days you don't have any people still into the Avera.
Okay, in terms of what actually deters people, so number one, there are a lot of people that don't kill people even though they know Beis Din is not going to kill them. But we do live, the secular government will probably come after us if we go around murdering people, so that not going to help so much. What does it take for someone to get killed in Beis Din? How often does Beis Din actually kill people? 7 years, 70 years, different shitas and Gemara Makos, right? Let's assume like the shita once every 70 years because it makes my point a lot better. The Beis Din that kills somebody once every 70 years is considered a violent Beis Din. It means that it happened even less often. And if a Beis Din killed once every 70 years, it's a violent Beis Din. How many murders do you think happened in those places over the course of those 70 years? I don't know, probably 70. How many murders happened in New York last year? I don't know what the numbers are. A couple of thousand? I don't know. What? A thousand? No. A few hundred? No, you don't know.
Yeah,
hundreds? Okay. Let's say 500 murders happened in New York last year. You think that's I'm shooting high?
No.
No, that's about right. 500. And 70 years, how many murders is that? 500 times 70? Any math whizzes? 3,500? 5 times 70 is 350. 35,000, you're right. So it's right? 500 times 70, 35,000. So a guy's going to say to himself, of 35,000 people who do this, one gets killed. And that's just murders. Beis Din kills also for Chil Shabbos. How many people? How many acts of Chil Shabbos happen in New York each year? Right? So a person's going to say, one out of every 10 billion cases that comes up, the guy gets killed. That's really good. One out of every 10 billion people that cross the street get killed also. I'm not afraid to cross the street. The chances of actually getting caught and killed in a Jewish Beis Din are nil. It's almost nothing. The deterrent is that he's actually afraid that it's going to kill him. That's not the deterrent. Yeah?
Maybe it's a push and just to get tried.
Oh, okay. So you could say that. But Nadviv's point then doesn't work because he's still going to be tried. He's just going to have to then come with the claim I did tshuva, but he'll still have to go through that pusha. So then Nadviv won't work. So says Rav Moshe, and we'll close with this. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. I think I've mentioned this tshuva in the past. I've definitely mentioned it in the past. I'm not sure if I mentioned it here in the past. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. We'll do it outside quickly. I think in all of Igros Moshe, it's the only tshuva ever written to a guy. In Igros Moshe, Choshem Mishpach El Beis Din Samaches, was written to the governor of the state of New York. You familiar with this tshuva? Did I ever mention it? No? The governor of the state of New York in 1978 or 9 or so, before Governor Cuomo, I forgot who the governor was weighing the issue of the death penalty. And one of the ways he was figuring it out was by asking religious leaders across the spectrum what their thoughts were, the moral, ethical consideration. Right, regarding his mayor, right. This is a governor. What the ethical considerations are in death penalty. So for the Orthodox Jewish approach, he asked Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva, fascinating tshuva to read. And look when it's dated, Purim Tavshin Mem Aleph. I once wanted to find tshuvas about Purim in Igros Moshe, so I searched Purim in Igros Moshe. I found dozens of tshuvas that were written on Purim. None of them had to do with Purim. Rav Moshe was sat there writing tshuvas all day. Purim is no different. He still learned Torah on Purim. Sat there writing tshuvas. Unbelievable. So he writes to Malas Kvod, Sarah Medina, Anech, but Achavav, Alina, Ma'od, Yarech, Hashem, Yisparach, Yomav, Shnosav, Umim, Shalta, Betovav, and Imim, dear governor. And what he says is that we never really do Misa Spezdim. It's in the Torah, it's on the books, but we never actually do it. Very, very rarely. It's the level of evidence you need to have to actually carry it out is impossible. Why is it on the books then? It's a joke. Number one rule of having rules is that you have to follow through. And if you don't follow through, your whole rule book is a joke. So he says, no. The purpose of it is, it's a deterrent, but not in the way they know to be meant. It's not a deterrent that when a person is about to murder somebody, they think, wait, if I get caught, then I'm going to get killed. No, that's not a deterrent in that way. It's a deterrent in the following way. You have a child sitting in a third grade classroom, and he's learning Chumash. And he's being taught, if you're Mechal Shabbos, you're Chayev Skila. What goes through the child's mind? Wow, Chil Shabbos is bad. It gives you a sense of how serious Averos are. With that sense of how serious Averos are, that deters you as an adult from doing Averos, because you know that this is something that's very serious. There are people who are willing to compromise on their religion with small things, but you know what the big things are. And in that way, it serves as a deterrent. The knowledge that it's a big deal. If that's true, then the Debut is incorrect. The Debut's explanation of why Bezin doesn't accept tshuva, because then it would make the whole system a joke, because no one would ever get killed. It's not true, no one ever gets killed anyway. So then we're back to our question, why doesn't Bezin accept tshuva? So I guess we'll do the other three approaches tomorrow. We'll do 10